NRP S2 E42 Creative Challenges. Hey everybody, welcome back. This week, I'm joined once again by my buddy Ian. And awkward silence.
Hello, Ian. You're supposed to say.
No, you're never going to get into that little monkey outfit, and I'm never going to get my organ grinder, and it's just not going to happen, okay? You ruined the dream, Ian. Ruined the dream. Okay, so anyway, this week, I wanted to talk a little bit about creative challenges. I was going to say art challenges, but really, anything you're interested in, you can find like a 30-day or a 30-minute or a whatever challenge to, you know, like there's things for art, obviously, for drawing, painting, for 3D modeling, comics, but then there's also stuff for writers, game makers, music, so there's a lot of range out there, and I thought I'd start out with the one I'm most familiar with.
Well, with this first one, what's the prize for this first one you're going to talk about?
For 24-hour comics day?
Yeah.
Well, the main prize is getting featured on the 24-hour comics website. And also, you know, the industry in comics and whatnot, you know, there's a lot, it's a small community, and a lot of the stuff that goes on, you know, other creators inspire other creators, and some stuff, you know, like, there's a lot of variations on the original challenge, because the original challenge was issued by Scott McCloud in 1990 with his buddy Stephen R. Bissett, and they, you know, he challenged him to draw a 24-hour comic, and he's like, well, obviously to up the ante, I'm going to draw one too. So they both did one, and then it started catching on. Neil Gaiman did one, and the guy who does Savage Dragon, you know, a lot of different people have done them, and there have been variations on what's expected in the rules. It's like, you know, you can have all your, you know, your paper and all your stuff cut to size and all your tools and stuff like that, but don't plan out the story, and you can, you know, and if it's a web comic, because that's another thing that got added, because at the, you know, in 1990, there weren't really a lot of, I mean, there were probably webcomics. It's just, you know, they weren't in the challenge, and now it's like, well, if you make a webcomic, and especially if it's Infinite Canvas, because Scott McCloud, you know, big proponent of the Infinite Canvas, is like, you can make it at like 100 panels, and it has to be 24 pages, or, and again, with webcomics, since a lot of webcomic creators are like, well, I'd like to focus on building a buffer, and I have these established characters. Can I just spend the entire 24 hours drawing new comics of my characters? You can, but I don't think it's officially sanctioned. But it's an option, you know. And the Eastman variation is based on, you start the 24 hours and you draw. You're supposed to draw 24 pages of comics, and if you don't finish that within the 24 hours, that variation is you do the comic, and you keep going anyway after you miss the deadline, and then you put it up and you go, well, I missed it, but here's the finished comic anyway, because Neil Gaiman did one, and he didn't finish within the 24 hours, and it's like, well, it is what it is, the comic's done. So,
did you want to talk about some of the rules of it?
Well, the rules. It must be begun and completed within 24 consecutive hours. Only one person may be directly involved in its creation, and it must span 24 pages, or if an infinite canvas format webcomic is being made, 100 panels. The creator may gather research materials and drawing tools beforehand, but cannot plan the comic's plot ahead of time or put anything on paper, such as designs and character sketches, until he is ready for the 24 hours to begin. Any breaks for food, sleep, or any other purpose are counted as part of the 24 hours. If the cartoonist fails to finish the comic in 24 hours, there are two courses of action, as we discussed with the Neil Gaiman one, was,
right,
I guess, more standard than the Eastman variation, which, you know, I've tried doing comics on 24-hour comics day. I've never tried to do an official one because, oh, man, around, like, hour six when I'm working on other stuff, like, I would do it for what web cartoonists do where, you know, you want to work on your buffer. And it's a nice thing because you're at an event, you know, and there's other people there and everybody's got rock music going, it's like being in college. We're going to get this work train done, man. And then, you know, like a lot of web cartoonists live stream while they're working. So you get to watch them draw, and you get to, you can draw on your own or work on your own thing, and they're listening to music. And after a while, it's like, man, it's like being at Denny's at 2 a.m. Everybody's here. We're just all trying to get this, getting our own thing done, but we're all unified. It's a fun thing to do. And Scott McCloud likes to call the Kevin Eastman version that was unsuccessful a noble failure. You know, where it's like, it's as long as you're working on it, you're making comics and you're making something, and it's an experience too, because you start realizing, like, man, I've seen people that they're like, I have to do pencils, I have to do light pencils, and I have to do deeper pencils, and I have to ink them, then I have to letter it perfectly. And it's like, dude, 6 hours have gone by and you haven't finished page one. So yeah. You really learn, it's like, what is essential? A lot of dialogue? Nope. Huge action drawings, because that's what's interesting. Or you really start learning, I'm going to plan out stuff in my first hour. I'm going to draw all the borders and everything of all the panels. And then I'm just going to spend each hour just filling those panels in, you know. It's an interesting experience. I recommend, it happens every year. There are actually event places you can go to. A lot of comic shops have them in bigger cities. You can go to online. A lot of people, 24 Hour Comics Day, a lot of people will be streaming their attempts. And, it's a nice thing. I really wish there were more events like this. So, and you can try a 24 Hour Comic, not on the day, but it's like the day is kind of the thing. It's kind of like, seeing a Christmas special before Christmas. It's like, well, of course it's going to be now. You're not going to see it in the middle of July. It'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's 24 Hour Comics Day. And the main reason people do that, they'll have it on that site, or they'll be doing it for themselves. Some people before a convention will want to put together a small, a mini to sell, or, add a story to some print collection that they're doing. And it's a real good way to channel stuff in. Now, following that idea, there's a lot of drawing challenges. Now,
what's this one called? A Gray Daily Sketch Bet?
Yeah, some friends of mine, actually, they all got together and they started a thing on Tumblr where the idea is that every day you post a drawing. Now, it doesn't have to be great. It can be crap. You can do, like, three of them in a day and post one the next day or whatever. But as long as you're posting stuff regularly. And the thing is, a lot of those guys were web cartoonists, so, some of them, it's like, oh yeah, I can post stuff every day, I don't mind. And then other people, it's like, I posted something, all right, and, oh, I'm still in this, oh, I'm out. And the idea originally was, if you were going to be in it, you were going to put something in the kitty. You were going to, put, like, I think originally they were betting, like, things like, okay, I'll give you this, or I'll help you booth at a show, or, stuff, like, trading stuff. And I think eventually they moved on to using money. Like, there was a pot, for every day that you're in it, you don't have to worry about losing. But then when you lose, when you fall behind and you're like, I didn't have time today to finish my sketch. Like, a lot of people, it would be, like, a few hours to midnight, and they couldn't post it, and they realize, oh, no, I haven't drawn anything, I lose. And then they have to post a post on the Tumblr feed that says, I lost the sketch bet, I'm a baby. It's like, and
so you get a pot of money, is that would be the prize?
That was what I think the prize got to. I don't think the sketch bet is running now. At least when I went to the Tumblr site, it looked like, I would Google it, and I found a lot of people who were posting, like, here's my attempt at it, and it's like, oh, this is great, oh, you only did two entries and then you tripped up, man, that's sad, kid. And it's, yeah, like, I never participated because I was always kind of busy, and I really should have entered, and now it's like, well, who knows. But, I mean, I've seen, I had some friends that set this one up. There are all kinds of sketch bets out there that you could get in on, where it's just a thing where it's like, hey, man, we're going to doodle and experiment for, like, an hour or so before we actually do our work, because just drawing for fun, that was the thing. There was no theme to this one. So it was, you can draw whatever. And sometimes they would have rules, like, it can be a drawing, but if, it doesn't have to be, like, color versus not. Because if it's a color one, it's like, well, does it have to be a finished drawing? Because some people could just throw whatever chicken scratch up there. And it's like, no, it has to be a finished drawing. You can make up all kinds of rules with these things. And then after that, there's the 30-Day Monster Girl Challenge. This one's pretty popular on Tumblr. where they have a list of 30 monster girls that you can just create your, you know, they had the idea there'd be like, you know, a griffin girl and a slime girl and stuff like this. And they'd say, okay, you know, do your rendition of it. And your rendition doesn't have to look anything like anybody else's. But, you know, you have to, you know, the idea is to make one every day for 30 days. And, you know, there's a variation of it, the 30-day Monster Boy Challenge, because, well, I mean, sure, everybody loves drawing women, but some people like to draw, you know, nothing wrong with drawing dudes, too. So, you know, and that's an interesting, it's an interesting challenge because it gives you something to draw. You know, I mean, I've kind of been putting together a list of things I would like to doodle, you know, and this is kind of like that, where it's like, okay, I really, you know, I'd like to draw pinup girls, and I'd like to draw dinosaurs, and I'd like to draw a lot of, you know, weird, like, robots, or I'd like to do something like, you know, and this has a list of different kinds of things, so, like, every day you go through and you go, okay, pick one of the monsters, or I don't know if they're numbered, if you have to do them in order or not, but, you know, it's like, it's something that, you know, you don't choose yourself, and it's like, hey, draw this real quick. All right, I'll draw a harpy, you know?
Yeah, and the first thing that you see when you go to the Monster Girl Challenge is, fuck yeah, Monster Girls.
.tumblr.com.
But, yeah, did you want to explain a little bit what the 30-minute art challenges are?
Yeah, those are more like just a practice, experimentive thing, where it's like, they'll give you different things that you can spend 30 minutes, because sometimes a time constraint is one of the nicest challenges, because people, they're like, I have to meticulously work over everything, and you get a 30-minute exercise and go, draw, you know, a character of this guy in 30 minutes, you know, just like gesture drawing, and just like speed painting, you know, speed painting is a thing where it's like, people are like, oh, I have to do all these delicate glazes, and I have to do an underpainting, it's like, nope, you go for it right now. And I like to think of it as a good way to, you know, flex your artistic muscles.
Right. And then you had the weekly art challenges, too.
Yep, weekly challenges. It's kind of like, you know, it's just like the 30-day challenges or whatever, but they're like, okay, this week we're all drawing, you know, monkeys. Everybody draw a monkey. Woo-hoo! You know, and you know, it's like, then the idea is that you share it with people. You go, I'm following this challenge, I'm keeping up with it, and here it is, and you know, sometimes, I think that's a good thing to have, is to be reliant on having to post stuff. Because sometimes when you're a lone wolf like you and I, Ian, and you work on your own thing, you don't have to show anybody anything. Yeah. It's very easy to let a month go by and you go, I did a bunch of studies, and I did a lot of research. I don't have a finished thing. And
that's why I probably wouldn't be good at some of those, what you call speed modeling challenges.
Oh, man. I saw one hardcore 3D modeling challenge. I was like, that name alone kind of scares me.
Yeah, is there any challenges that are analogous to that, like a speed drawing challenge that are variable on, you know, like the time limits, I guess?
Well, there's, as far as like make time stuff, there's the daily painting, you know, challenge, and the daily painting movement is, you know, like, people, they say, the idea with that is you sit down and you make a piece of art a day, and sometimes it could be something that you had to spit out. Like, I was reading an article written by a woman who works at dailypaintworks.com, and she was saying that, like, you know, being a new parent, her kid would lay down for a nap, and she would only have so much time to work on stuff, and she used to fret and make, you know, be, everything was so precious, and, like, every painting had to be so expensive and so detailed. And she realized, if I've only got an hour and a half while my kid's taking a nap, I'm going to use it, and I'm going to paint these apples sitting here, and I'm going to get one done today. It might not be the best thing, but I'll learn from it. And she started posting on it every day, and, you know, it's the daily practice of, you have to do it, and if it sucks today, don't worry, because the next one might be more awesome. And as long as you're posting stuff on a website regularly, people are going to come by and go, oh man, we're rooting for you. We really like this art, and we really like seeing stuff every day that you're working on. And there's the Daily Paintworks site, and then they also have Daily Paintworks challenges. So, like, you know, if you're sitting there going, I don't know what to paint, like, it'll say, you know, today's challenge, paint a horse. And you go, all right, I'll find a horse and I'll paint it. Because sometimes when you're being creative, that, you know, the gears in your brain, you'll be in creative, you're like, okay, I want to paint. But then the decision-making part of your brain goes out, and you're like, I don't know what to paint. Have you ever been in that where you sit there, you open up your favorite art program, and you're like, I was going to do something. What was it?
Yeah, sometimes, I guess.
Yeah.
So does that, can that encompass both traditional as well as digital painting? Some of these challenges?
Well, like, you know, the challenges, like, you can make art however you want to make it. I mean, you don't have to submit stuff to a particular site. You can do stuff at home, you know, play the home game, basically. But with the Daily Paintworks, the idea of it is that it's a lot of it's traditional. I think, I don't know if they have a digital section. I think they do. But with the traditional art, is the idea is that you post your, you know, your daily painting, and then you try and sell it there. So that's another initiative to make art regularly, is people see you go, hey, you're making stuff every day, and I like what you're doing. I'm going to buy it. So.
Yeah. Well, unless if you have anything else to say about, like, the specifically the digital or the just the painting challenges, did you want to sort of talk about some of the writing challenges?
Yeah. The one that comes to mind is coming up, actually. November is National Novel Writing Month, or NaNoWriMo, which I've been getting a lot of emails lately about this one because I signed up at the NaNoWriMo site, and I've been meaning to do the challenge. But they post all the, you know, they send these emails of motivational things like, hey guys, your novel's waiting, it says hi, please write me. And the idea behind it is that you have to, you know, every day you do so many thousand, you know, so many words. I don't think it's a thousand, but, like, you know, so many hundred words. And if you miss a day, I think you're supposed to make it up by the end of the week. You know, they have their goals and guidelines, but, you know, it's another one of those things where the idea is that at the end of the day, you have your novel, and they have the website where you can share it and get feedback on it and post it for people to see it. Or you could just take that book and go to Amazon and start selling it, which is what I'd really like to do.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, National Novel Writing Month, it's just, you know, that's how they frame it, is like, you could probably write, I mean, you could write anything this month, but National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo, the sound of it, it just, you know, it's catchy. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on in November. There's Novembeard. Have you heard about that one where people try and grow a nice beard during the month of November?
Right.
I've done it. It's kind of itchy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for the whole idea of the challenge is that it says, okay, here's your thing, now do it. It, you know, and it takes away the idea of, I don't know what I want to work on. It's like, you know, if somebody else gave you a story, you know, like, I remember I was reading Guy Gilchrist, who took over drawing the strip Nancy. He was also drawing the Muppets comic strip, and he said that he took the text for a story for, like, Snow White or Cinderella or something, and he illustrated his own, as you know, he made his own mock book with it, and then he realized, because he really wanted to work for Little Golden Books, so he said, okay, if I wanted to work for them, I would do a book. And just say I would pick this fairy tale. He's like, now I need to draw it, and I need to have so many illustrations. And he gave himself deadlines, and then he realized, wow, this is actually really hard. I need to manage my time better. And then at the end of the assignment, he would have, you know, at the end of the week, at this deadline he gave himself, like, he gave himself the imaginary deadline that he was going to walk into Lil Golden Books' office and say, here's a book I've put together, boss. I want you to print it. And he would have this thing done, and when he finished it, he had it to shop around at other, you know, at other interviews he had, because, you know, he gave himself that job, and nobody paid him for it, but he had it, and then it was in his portfolio, and it was an example of a completed book that he had illustrated. Because a lot of people will do, you know, you'll do that assignment in class where it's like, okay, I have to make up a fake resume, and I have to do, you know, this or that project like I actually have the job. And a lot of people, they go, oh, it'll be different when they pay me. And it's like, well, you're paying so much to be at this institute. You need to have the assignment. And it's like, if you do the thing you want to do, that's what a lot of creative people say, is like, you know, do the job you want to do, and then start showing it to the people that hire people to do that job. And all of a sudden, you might actually start getting some jobs. I mean, it sounds crazy, I know. So,
well, what was that famous quote that somebody said? If you love what you do, you never have to work a day in your life.
Well, I mean, that's, I love what I do, and it's still a job. But you know, it's still work to get stuff done, but you love it. You know, I'd much rather break my back doing something I'm passionate about than break my back working retail. So,
yeah. What are some of the challenges then for, like, game making and creation, I guess?
Game making. Now, this one, there's a lot of, like, it's a weird thing to find out that there's all these challenges for game making, because it's like, I'm kind of, you know, games are one of those things that are on my periphery. Like, I'd like to make a game sometime, and I keep, you know, I keep following other people's dev logs, and I, you know, I read their little postmortems on how they made the game, and they're like, okay, this worked out the way I planned, and oh, this totally bombed. And I started, like, I'm going to take this out of order from the notes. Ludum Dare is how it's pronounced. I know it looks like Ludum Dare. I first became aware of this one when Notch from Minecraft, the guy who made Minecraft, he would enter it, and he would stream himself while he was coding an entire game over a weekend. And, you know, people are like, well, what is this thing? He's like, I'm doing a Ludum Dare challenge. And some people would comment on those live stream very meanly, like, I paid you to make Minecraft, not this game. And they're like, no, you paid him for your copy of Minecraft. He can make whatever he wants. And it's like, plus, it's a weekend. You know, the idea is try and make, you know, invariably they would kind of look like Minecraft, because, of course, the guy that made that game, other games are kind of going to look like that a little bit. You know, but, you know, a game over the weekend, I started watching other people's streams from their experiments, and you get an interesting, you know, just like with doing 24-hour comics day, you start realizing, oh, wait, I kind of designed this whole mechanic and all these things, and it's like, I really should have just made some sprites and made them move around and figure out how to make a game work. And Ludum Dare does that, where it's like they post people their progress reports and then their postmortem of whether or not they succeeded in making the challenge. And if they, you know, if they did, they're like, this is what I used. And if they didn't, well, here's better luck next year. And that's awesome. There's also a Tig Jam, which is the Tig Source. I believe it's a yearly thing where they get together and they all talk about games. And the guy that made Spelunky, you know, the guy who I think he's the moderator at Tig Source, he was talking about, like, everybody when they're making a game, they all, it's kind of, you know, you start thinking about it so much, it's like a little crab that crawls around in your brain that you can't stop thinking about it. It's like, you come to this thing, and you realize everyone else kind of has these head crabs, and they kind of all intermingle, and then we start, you know, people get ideas for other stuff. And, you know, it's kind of an environmental thing, you know, it's kind of like, once you feel like getting around other people, it inspires you. You're like, all these other people are having fun doing this thing that I'm really passionate about. And like, yeah. Oh, I see this guy doing this thing, I'm going to do this thing too. You know, so, you know, Tig Jam is where it's like a lot of people getting together, talking about making games and coding. I mean, some stuff, you know, some stuff is really awesome. And then I'm sure there's some stuff like, you know, details of coding and whatnot that would kind of melt my brain a little bit to listen to them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done mild coding for things and editing stuff, and it's like, I find a lot of stuff fascinating, but at the same time, it's like, wow, I really don't have the patience to do a lot of this, do I?
Yeah.
Which is why you want to look at, you know, challenges and stuff like that, they go, you have a weekend, make a puzzle game. Try and make a Connect 4 game. Try and do, you know, make something as simple as you can to get through the deadline, because, you know, meeting a deadline and actually having something done, even if it is total crap, at least you have something done. And
right.
Then, you know, and that's kind of the difference between challenges and jams. Jams are where it's a lot about the community, and they don't have anything specific, but sometimes, you know, you can do something in that weekend and make a whole game.
Oh, I was just going to ask, so some of these are, there's not really like a time limit, but some do have a time limit to make the whole game. And some are just like for parts of the game making process, like you said, like the just like a coding challenge or like an environment challenge or whatever, or all of them just make a whole game.
Well, the ones I'm going to have in the links, three of those are actual timed. You have to make a game that is done to a degree. You can do stuff to the game afterwards, I think, but, you know, it's a matter of you turn stuff in. Tig Jam is more of a meetup, but there's also, there's going to be, you know, it's a event Just like, if you go to a convention for a lot of things, there'll be meetups and workshops and stuff like that. And right. I've never been to a TIG jam, but I've been reading up on it. Like, man, this actually sounds pretty interesting. You know, but,
what is Stencil Jam then, specifically, I guess?
Well, Stencil Jam is for the game creation software Stencil. It used to be Stencil Works. And you make Flash games in it, you can make iOS games, and you can make desktop standalone games. And they're working on Stencil 3 has been in development for about a year plus. And right now it's in beta for people that pay to subscribe to use. But the idea with that one is that it also support Android games. The idea is you make the game once and then it'll be able to port it out, you know, different things. And it's a lot easier to make a game in Stencil than it is straight up Flash, because you need to know less code. It's like, but I'm getting off track here. That's Stencil.
What's Stencil Jam number 13?
Well, Stencil Jam number 13 right now is the one that's going on right now as we speak. It's actually going on into November. Stencil Jam 13. It ends November 15th. And let's see, it started October 13th. So about a month. What to make? Make a game with any version of Stencil. It may be a Flash game, a mobile, iOS, Android game, or a universal game, Flash plus mobile. The game has to be new, not something you've already published, and has to be complete. No theme, no other restrictions. You may submit multiple entries or work with as many people as you'd like. Games started before the announcement may be submitted if finished in time. So really the idea is if you finish the game, you can, you know, the spirit of the jam is that you work on it. A lot of the people will work on it the last week of the jam, and they used to have themes, and that's a big thing people in the thread are complaining about. It's like, oh, there should be a theme, and then it's like, well, really, you know, how do you test for, you know, if somebody finished the game? Because if somebody had been working on a game for a year and then finished it in time for the jam, that would technically be all right, but the idea is that you're supposed to be working on it during the start to the end. And it's like, well, how do you test to make sure that that person didn't start it before? It's like, well, if you have a theme, it's like, yeah, but you can mod a theme into a game, can't you? You know, like Mario yeah. Brothers 2 wasn't really Mario Brothers 2.
Right. So,
well, the Stencil Jam one, like I was saying, that one goes from October 13th to November 15th. And then Game Boy Jam, I believe, happens from the 1st to November 10th.
Okay.
But yeah, the thing about the GB Jam is a video game development jam that developers will spend a week and develop a game based around the theme of Game Boy. So,
oh, that's cool.
So, you know, that sounds interesting. You get a theme, yeah. try and go with that green and black screen, or, you know, or a lot of Tetris clones, or, you know, something that just, that is a nice ode to the Game Boy system. And the idea is if you can enter a game into the Stencil Jam and then also into this jam. Now, I don't know what the prizes are on this one. So, let's see.
So, you can't exactly say if you get cold hard cash or...
Well, it's got rules, though. The only official rule is the game must be Game Boy themed. Keeping the original Game Boy screen resolution of 160 pixels by 144 pixels, use only 4 colors in your game. Wow.
Huh.
Well, see, that's another good thing when it comes to making it, you know, a jam or a challenge is, okay, here are some arbitrary limitations for you. This is what you have to work with. So, because I'm sure, you know, when was the last time you just decided, I must make a game in the original resolution of the Game Boy?
That would be never, sir. Never.
So, yeah, that's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, I'm just mentioning these out here for people that are game developers who want to get into that. I mean, we've mentioned writing ones, we mentioned painting ones. You know, I'm going to mention a few others. Yeah, I'm going to link all these on the blog and say, you know, here's a bunch for ideas. If you're somebody like, if you're a sculptor and you want to find a sculpting challenge, go look at, you know, check Tumblr and the internet. I bet you go to a forum for people that do your kind of art, and you're going to find people who are like, hey, let's all get together and do a challenge and see who can do this subject or do this topic, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, moving on to, this is another one of your peripheral interests, I guess, is music.
Ah, yes. Jonathan Colton and his thing a week. Now, when he first, Jonathan Colton, for those of you who might not know, he was originally a programmer, and he decided he had a kid, a daughter, and he really wanted to. He's like, I want to do what I want to do. You know, I'm a music. He really wanted to be a musician, so he stopped being a coder, and he started being a professional musician, doing a lot of geek based stuff. You know, and he had a web. You know, very big web presence, and somebody suggested, well, if you're serious about recording music for and performing it for a career, every week for a year, you should try and release a thing. You know, write a song, produce it, record it, and then release it. And he did. 52 tracks, a thing a week. And, you know, I believe on his wiki article about it, he says that 5 years later, he did a follow-up on it, where he would post the original thing and, you know, all right, this is the thing I posted 5 years ago, and here's a commentary on it, and like, man, what I learned with this, and what was I thinking with this one? Because his tracks are, he has some interesting songs. He has that song Code Monkey, and he has a song R.E. Your Brains, where it's a guy who's been zombified, and he's like, hey, man, we see you hiding up there, and if you could very politely come down here, we just want to eat your brains. I mean, come on, man, it's not asking too much. Then there's another one with a guy who's a love song from a guy who's this evil mastermind trying to convince this woman to not be afraid of him. I mean, sure, I've got henchmen, and I made you a monkey pony. Can't you just like that I made you something? Why? I mean, you realize how many ponies I had to ruin to make this for you.
Yeah. Talking about music and people have to hear it to be able to, you know, determine if it's good or bad, like if it's a challenge or whatever. What are most of these, the terms and conditions on, like, the copyright for a lot of these challenges?
Well,
so I mean, you don't get screwed on that, you know?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you enter. If, like we've said before, if you enter into anything, find out what the rules are. Because, I mean, if you make, like, if you sign up for something, they're like, oh, there's this movie coming out. We want everybody that's a fan of it to make a fan art poster. But secretly, if you agree to our terms and conditions, we can print that poster and we never have to pay you a single red cent. You know, it's like, you need to look into all the things that you're getting into. With a thing a week, Jonathan Colton actually released the stuff. You could listen to it, I believe, under, like, a Commons license, where people could listen to it and share it. But, you know, if at the end of the day, it's like, you know, you attribute him and it's like, also, please pay me. Please buy my stuff. Like, he's like, I've got CDs. Actually, buy my stuff if you like, a couple songs.
What about the game challenges? What are some of the agreements on that you know of?
Well, with Stencil, I know that their thing is, like, you make your own game. It's yours. I mean, they put, if you don't own a copy of Stencil, then there's the title screen will say made with Stencil or whatever. If you have a subscription to it that you pay every year, then you can make your own title screen and they never have to credit them. And you can Stencil has, like, the Stencil Forge, where they have all kinds of, you know, behaviors and actors and placeholder stuff, or people have figured out more advanced coding for stuff and you can use that. But I think they have, different accredited stuffs, you know, where you might have to credit the person in the credits page of your game or whatever, you know.
Right.
But for the jam, it's more of along the lines of, you know, you post your stuff, prizes. The top three prizes entries will win a Stencil Studio subscription for 1 year. If you already have a subscription, you'll receive an extension upgrade. Let's see. You can also be private submissions. If you email us a private submission, please provide a link to your game's forum topic. Mobile games, although we much prefer an App Store Google Play entry, if you are unable to get a mobile game approved in time, it takes 1 week on average, or intending to sell the game, you may email an IPA APK project promo code to hello@stencil.com. Web games, for a web game, you may email a link to hello@stencil.com if you're seeking a sponsorship and have to keep the game private during bidding. So if you're seeking to get the game sponsored, you know, people who sponsor games usually want exclusivity of it, but you can still enter it into the contest, and it doesn't have to be public out there for people, you know, they don't have to know about your game, or it doesn't have to be available for them to play it. Because, I mean, if you're making a game for a client and you also want to enter it into this, I guess it's saying you can.
Oh, okay, that's cool. I'm sure the writing challenges could get messy, too, with, like, novels or scripts, you know.
Well, I mean, that's why you look into all the terms and conditions. Yeah. 'Cause all these things I'm offering out here are just things that people can look into. I mean, you know, things like the 30-day Monster Girl Challenge, it's probably not an issue. But I'm sure if you want to do stuff at Daily Paintworks and you want to sign up and you want to sell your stuff, I'm sure they have all kinds of rules about what they accept and what they don't. Like, I want to submit my naked self-portrait every day until somebody buys it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, was there anything else that you wanted to say about, like, any other music challenges that you know of?
I don't know of a lot of music challenges. I just thought I would mention Colton's thing a week, because it's not... This one is one that he just figured, okay, I've got the arbitrary deadline of I need to make something every week for a year, and... You know, it's just a challenge that, like, you know, you realize, oh, wait, when I was doing my first webcomic, I had a roommate who was saying, you don't have to have one up every day. And it's like, oh, I do. if I don't, I mean, it doesn't matter if nobody's seeing it or not. I compulsively have to have this done, because it's a real thing that you know, if you ever had a deadline lapse on you, Ian, and you go, oh, man, I thought I was going to do that, and... No, I didn't. I feel like crap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's a thing. You know, it's a victory even when you say, I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah. Moving on, this is sort of interesting to me. Maybe sometime in the future I'll try to do one of these challenges, is the photography challenges.
Yeah, I added these, the photography one and the 3D modeling ones, because most of these I already knew about. And then with these, I figured, well... Ian's not very interested in all and my stuff, the stuff I'm interested in. I know he's into photography, so I found the photo challenge. You know, this is a site where they're like, you know, they put up every so often, like, okay, here's things that you can do. Try and get a photo that, you know, does this. You know, I mean, you can Google, there'll be like websites and, you know, places that publish stuff and like looking for photographers to enter into the challenge. Like, you know, there'll be like a local place that'll say, oh, we're looking for people to take photos of what this city means to them, and, you know, in a photo essay or whatever, you know. And yeah. Photochallenge.org, I saw these guys, they said they started in 2007. I think they were just doing it to like try and motivate themselves to take good photography, and now that it's on, you know, on the web, anybody can try and follow along with the challenges and do them themselves.
It's pretty funny now that I'm looking on that challenge. Is you have this picture of this one guy that has the classic one bang hanging over his forehead. It's like curly.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's that one. And then also the weekly photo challenges at the Daily Post, because this is just like a category listing on their site. And so every week they say, you know, a photo of, you know, photo of this, and you can get your teams together and try and do, you know, do this. And it's a good thing to follow along, just like, you know, drawing and painting and whatnot. It's like, it gives you, okay, here's a topic, now go out and do this topic the best you can. So,
yeah.
All right. And then 3D modeling, I believe there's three of them here. Character Forge 3D, which I actually know nothing about, but I thought I'd share it with you. It's from this forum from CG Hub. It's the forum thread. It's like I said before, go to a forum for people that share your love of your interest, and then they'll post threads of, here's the challenge that we're all getting into, and here are the rules and guidelines for it.
Yeah, Character Forge, one of the round deadlines are typically 3 weeks. Voting is typically 2 weeks. Layout size, keep all submissions to 1,000 to 12,000 pixels in height or width. Yeah, or 1,200. That's what I meant. submissions, post final images in final thread, blah, blah, blah. One entry only. Most of your characters must be shown in a render, no portraits. Any software or combination of software can be used. All entries must be lit and rendered. Backgrounds, ships, and weapons are all optional. You can also texture your modes. I think they remain, meaning to say models?
Maybe.
No poly count or texture size limits. That's good. So you could have it could be as dense of a mesh as you want, you know. Could be like billions of polygons, that's cool.
As long as the final render is, you know, looks nice.
Yeah, exactly. Focus on personality, what sets your characters apart from others. Pay attention to anatomy, costume, shape, form, and lighting. Use reference. Don't fret if your answers don't always come too quickly. Remember, critical thinking is key to great character design. Post work in progress images as you go. All designs must be original in your own work. Well, of course. Unless the subject theme dictates otherwise. No reboots of existing designs unless that's the challenge. Designs must be created for the current challenge. No submitting of old work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is just one of the number of challenges on that site, because they also had a thread for, they were going to do backgrounds and, you know, landscape designs and stuff like that, but it was, that one was more like, okay guys, what do you think, you know, what are some ideas we should use? So it was more like a spitballing thread at the time, but this is just, you know, that's just one thread on one site. And then
you had the poly limit 3D modeling challenges. Those are pretty interesting. Well, I'd like to say something. It's just me personally. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I hate contests that are just posted on Facebook. I like actual forum threads or other specific sites that are dedicated to the challenge, you know. I think it's sort of like a cop out just to post it on Facebook, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why, you know, that's why I put this, their Blogspot page first, because this one has, you know, I like when they have not only the official rules page, but also here's past challenges and here's past entries, you know, so you can look through and go, oh man, that looks neat, and oh man, I want to do something like that with mine, you know, and it gets you pumped up and excited to be part of a community of stuff, you know. So that one, I mean, I don't know anything about these challenges. I thought I'd toss them out there though, because I know you're a 3D guy, and you might look at them and, you know, come back the next episode and go, "Oh man, this one was a scam. What do you do?" here's a thread that's just on Reddit: Daily 3D, and the top one, 132, a bag of groceries, paper or plastic. So I mean, really,
well, they look interesting. Like I said, I don't have any other. I don't have any experience in doing 3D models, but these look like some pretty rock solid ones, you know?
Yeah, you know, the idea is like, okay, they take the topic away from you and say, okay, we need to see your skills, you know, draw a picture of Abraham Lincoln. Yes, sir, I'll draw the best looking one I can. You know? And it's like, you know, just like with modeling, you know, they give you a topic, you know, a teacup and a saucer, a tobacco pipe, Pokemon. Your favorite pen. I don't know if I have a favorite pen. As a guy who has like a billion pens and goes through them like toilet paper, it's I guess I can understand having a fascination with a pen, but
you do go through pens like toilet paper. I would think that you would go through maybe like pencils quicker than pens.
Well, I don't. Well, the thing is, like, I'll use one for like a technique, and then I'll go to another one. Like, I'll, you know, use a ballpoint pen to scratch and get a certain kind of texture, and then for outlining, I'll go to another one. I mean, I know some people that they, like, fetishize, you know, certain brush pens that are very similar to actual brushes, but they're less horrible, because brushes are terrifying. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, brushes produce, you know, great art, but also, anything will produce great art if you know how to use it properly, and if, you know, brushes and stuff, it's like, it's very easy to go, I know how to use this, this is great, and then everything looks like crap.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, I'm pressing down at this one pressure and hardness, and everything is real thick, and it doesn't look right, and I need to get these little lines, and all, everything's broken and crappy, you know. Just like using a crow quill, you know, pen nib, you know, it's like that. I tried using one of those in college. Stuff just splatters everywhere. I'm like, how did the old timers know how to use this? I might stab myself in the eye. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Boy. But anyway.
Well, here's this next area of challenges. I'm sort of surprised you didn't have a lot more of, because we both share this this area of art is animations.
You know, it's like, I probably would have filled this out more if I, you know, had more time to just start listing searches. Like, I mean, I knew of 11 Second Club, where it's like they give you an audio from a movie and you have you know, however long, the, I think it's a month or whatever, to animate the 11 sections to the audio. And,
oh, that's interesting.
Or whatever. Yeah, it, you know, that sounds, you know, that's cool. It's like, I'm sure there are different animation challenges. I mean, you can find, like I was doing with the 30-day monster girl challenge and all these others. If you go on Tumblr and say, you know, art challenges, like, they'll give you a list, like, every day, you know, animate a walk cycle, animate this or that, you know, these, they'll give you things to do. But 11 Second Club actually is, like, you know, a thing where they post all the entrants and stuff, and, you know, I mean, I knew about it, it's just I haven't entered into it either, because I'm crazy. Anyway.
Well, is that, so can you do that for, can you do 2D or 3D animation for that then, or?
The 11 Second Club is a monthly character animation competition. Animators from all over the world participate in animating a character, speaking a line of dialogue provided by the club. Throughout the competition, participants can share their progress with each other and critique each other's work. At the end of the month, everyone votes for whose submission they consider the best for that month. The idea is to give animators a chance to practice their skills in a fun, challenging environment. Let's see.
That would be interesting, doing a stop-motion challenge, too.
Let's see. Number five. Listen, I don't go for all this CG razzmatazz. Can I still enter the competition if I'm a paper and pencil animator, or if I use stop-motion puppets? Of course, animation is animation. However you feel most comfortable animating your entry, then that's how you should approach it. All that's really required is that you are able to upload a QuickTime movie of your work to the site by the end of the month. The style and the medium is absolutely up to you.
Well, that would be interesting to read the rules on that then, because what do they define as animation? Then I guess, you know, if it's, you could just put in any kind of video file in there, you know.
Well, it's, you know, as long as it's you made it, you know, it's like, I mean, I don't know how they feel about mocap.
Right.
How do I, let's see, but I don't know anything about modeling or rigging. How can I participate with my own character? Relax, no one said anything about modeling or rigging your own character. There are plenty of characters available online for you to animate with. Have a look in our resources section to find expensive and ready-to-animate rigs for most popular 3D programs. So, really, it's an animation challenge. It's not about even about modeling the characters, although, you know, if you can take, like, their, you know, example models and make it look great, because I'm sure a lot of people will enter a line from a movie and they're like, oh, I'm just gonna make this look exactly like it did in the movie, and it's like, well, that's not the point. yeah what the 11 Second Club is they give you an audio clip and they say animate a character, you know, to this dialogue. So, like, you know, it could be like, you know, a guy singing a song from a movie, and like you animate all the stuff that goes on during the song, you know, or, you know, somebody else saying it, as long as it's, you know, you take this audio that we're all aware of, you know, or whatever, and it's, you know, for the challenge, and then you can do whatever you want with it. You know, if everyone's doing the Thriller dance while this action is happening, so.
Yeah, is there any others that you know offhand that are interesting?
Not offhand, I just mentioned this one because it's like, you know, it's the one I knew of, and I'd like to look, I'd really like to spend some time looking into these things and seeing if I could find more good challenges and something interesting to get into or to recommend to people.
Right, they can definitely be inspirational and motivating, you know, just looking at all the work that others have done, you know.
Yeah, it's like, it's like being in school. It's like, oh, guys, have you made any progress on this thing we're all working on? Yeah, guy, check this out. Oh, man, now mine looks like it sucks, you know.
What are some of the other just, like, general, like, challenges people can do? Like, I see you have Thing-A-Day. What does that encompass?
I believe that one is people posting every day that they're making something. You know, and it's more of, you know, it's more of like, here's a blog of while I'm doing a thing. Just like when we're talking about daily paintings, it's like, here's today's painting. You know, with this one, it's like, here's a piece of jewelry I made today, and here's a photo I took, you know, or here's, you know, and it's like, it follows so many people that are doing each, you know, their thing. I believe it's on WordPress. Let's see.
It sort of looks like if Pinterest were to do some kind of challenge, you know.
well, Pinterest actually, when I was looking up stuff like photography, I found a Pinterest that was like 365 ideas for photo things to do for challenges. So it's like, you know, a subject in shadow or a suggestive of this image. Like, can you do a photograph that represents an emotion? You know, just ideas that way you tear one off of the calendar and you go, okay, today I'm doing this image, you know, like, oh, nude self-portrait, all right, guess I'm gonna do that. Or tasteful nude self-portrait, that's what I need to do for today's challenge. You know, but with this one, with Thingaday, let's see, how to get started. We want images. We want images on the front page. We need to assign one of your post images as a featured image. Then all is good, else you'll be featured text only. Note that as this is a WordPress.com housed blog, we don't have unlimited space. Please keep your image uploads to reasonable file size. We want tags. We want your user profile. Detailed instructions on how to post on WordPress. All right. Let's see. Instructions on creating your first Thingaday. Let's see. That's 2012. Let's see. Create an account.
I'm going to upload a picture that you can't save as a PSD file because the dimensions are so large, you know.
Well, I can save anything as a PSD, and you should know me.
Well, I think after they have like a size limit on that where you have to save it as a PSB or something.
But yeah, the whole idea of this is just a thing a day. You know, it's like, you know, if you're a crafty person and you want to do like, you know, letterpress a day or origami thing a day, or if you got a thing that you want to do and you can post about it and like post what you've learned about it, you know. Because that's the thing about a hobby is, like, you know, if you're into knitting stuff, when you finish that scarf, you go, man, I am never doing this again. Or, man, I'm getting this different kind of wool. Or, knitting just ain't for me. You know, it's like you learn things about doing anything regularly with an audience, especially like this podcast. You know, you and I have been doing a podcast a week since we started, and we've been figuring stuff out. You know, you've learned how to format notes so that we can put them on a blog so people can visit it. You know, we learned how not to talk, you know, so it's like I'm in one room and you're in the other and we can't hear each other, or the cats walk in, or like we've learned how to edit the episodes. Like I've edited, you know, my stuff and then you edit down from that, and you know, because when you start doing something, you look back on like day one project on like day 30, you're like, wow. Day one sucked.
Right.
Now, real quick, to wrap all this up, places to find challenges and jams. You know, jams are just a place where, you know, like if you go, you know, well, I'll mention this. Online, you can find a lot of people on Tumblr going, hey, man, here's an idea of 30 things that you can do in 30 days to prove your, you know, have a topic to work on. You know, make a like you could do a 30-day challenge where you draw a page of a story every day, and then at the end you've got a whole comic, you know. And then you can find those online on Tumblr. You can go to if you're at a forum of people that share the same kind of art you are. Like if you're a sculptor, or if you do like, you know, a glass blowing or something, and you're on a glass blowing forum, you can contact find a bunch of guys and go, hey guys, let's all try and do something geared towards ones, you know, doing stuff regularly. Then there's conventions. If you're at, say, a comics convention, you know, if you've ever sat at a table at, you know, while a bunch of cartoonists are all sitting around at a restaurant and everyone's drawing on the paper tablecloth, you know, or somebody's passing around a sketchbook, like somebody drew somebody else's character and then somebody drew them from behind, you know, air humping or whatever, you know, it's an environment. And look around, because you'll find there'll be all kinds of people passing around, you know, comic jams and people wanting to, you know, looking for somebody to draw something. So there's conventions. Also meetups, you know, if you've got like, you know, if you've got a lot of people on Tumblr or on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever, schedule a meetup, go to a bar or something and everybody, you know, bring it, you know, get together and do something.
Right. And no, that's good.
That's a good idea. And then also start your own, you know, you can reach out to people now, because like we've all got friends on Facebook, we've all got people that we went to school with and that we know, and it's like, you know, if you're friends with other artists or other people that share your interest in something, say, hey guys, how about we all get together and try a jam of something or a challenge or something, or I'm going to start a challenge and if somebody wants to follow my example and join in, we can get a ball rolling. So
yeah, just challenge yourself, you know. That's what it is to be human, is to try to challenge and try to keep progressing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Gonna climb that mountain.
Exactly.
Climb it real good.
And even though a lot of these prizes aren't really like monetarily. You can still either get like bragging rights, or you can get other whatever artwork wins. You can. Well,
just,
I don't know.
Just like with the sketch bet, you know, you can always have a pool with your friends and go, "Hey, man, I bet you I can finish a book before you do." "Oh, yeah? I got $50. It says, "Well, we're only betting $50 because I don't have any money. So you can bet your $50 and I will take it."
Yeah.
When I win. But, you know, anyway, I think that about wraps this one up. Ian, what do you think? Do you have any closing thoughts on the matter?
Well, one thing you forgot to mention, but you've mentioned throughout the whole podcast is searching for challenges is just Google, you know, or Yahoo or whatever your search engine is.
Bing!
Bing. No,
Alta Vista.
We'll just won't mention that one.
Babelfish.
But, no, I mean, like I generally said, is just try to challenge yourself and, you know, it'll just motivate you to be even better, you know, in whatever you're doing, whether it's art or it's just DIY or just whatever you do, just challenge yourself.
I'm sure there are, you know, challenges for home improvement, you know, for challenges on bike riding, you know, on all kinds of different things. Just, you know, I think we've provided a nice beginner list for people. So.
Yep.
So anyway, that wraps it up for this week. I'd like to thank you all for listening and see you all on the other side.
Peace.
More, visit NoRightsProductions.com. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/NoRights. And hey, why don't you check out my Tumblr at NoRights.tumblr.com.